There are interesting people in disc golf, and there are boring people in disc golf. Here's one of each on the Fish Golf Broadcast. On this episode of the Fish Golf Broadcast, I got to sit down with Derek Skull of Gatekeeper Media. Derek, what you thinking about?
Go birds, Fish.
Go birds.
Go birds to all of you listening as well.
Yeah, and go birds is a state of being, a state of mind. It's not just something to say.
It's a colloquial hello in most places in the greater Philadelphia area.
I think you have uncovered a paradox. There is no such thing as greater Philadelphia. It's all bad.
All right. I'm not going to argue because there are a lot of bad things there. So the media said bad things happen in Philly.
Well, they said that about Baltimore, too. They don't live there.
And it's equally bad there, too.
Oh, what?
Baltimore is just the younger cousin to Philadelphia.
It's kind of true. Like, Baltimore definitely has a complex being the smaller, forgotten city in between D.C. and Philadelphia. And I think Philadelphia is like little cousin to New York and has the same complex.
Correct, but we're, I guess, maybe the middle child at this point.
Yeah, definitely.
If we go, you know, full coastal in the mid-Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
Is Baltimore still mid-Atlantic? I guess technically not.
No, it is. It is. I think mid-Atlantic, like Virginia's the borderline between that and the South.
Mm. All right.
Or.
Can we all agree that there are much better places than New York, though?
Oh, unquestionably. We've all had a disservice done to us by 90s and 2000s sitcoms and movies that, like, if it wasn't set in New York, it didn't exist.
New York or L.A.?
Yep.
Back then. Yeah. And you could tell the difference by the color they were showing you. So New York was blue. L.A. was orange. That was the color palette that they did on a lot of movies back then. It's like... L.A. Like, was represented as a very orange scene, and then New York is that dark blue, gritty vibe.
Hmm. Is that something you notice because of your background in like media, filmmaking, that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's actually was a section in one of our lessons in college, actually.
Like using color palettes to evoke... a particular mood?
Yeah, it's part of what's called mise-en-scène. And those are the, I think, six or seven attributes that make like your project. So it goes off of like blocking and staging, costume, color palette, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's been a while since I've like really dug into mise-en-scène, so I'm probably missing a few things.
Yeah, I guess in your current role, you kind of don't have to do that. Like, you've expressed to me before that you'd like to do more documentaries or commercials or things that require, like, individual creativity for disc golf.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely not traditionally a cookie cutter person, so I like to kind of go to the beat of my own drum as much as I can. And expressing my creativity through filmmaking was always something that I was very, very, very into from an early age. I picked up a stills camera when I was like 8, started creating photography all the way up until, I don't know, 15 was when I had my first internship with like a real video production company.
Mm-hmm.
And that was for the NHL.
Cool. For the Flyers?
No, for the Islanders.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I ended up marrying an Islanders fan.
Like, it's tacky to have those house divided stickers or something, but like, how do you deal with that difference of religion in your everyday life?
It doesn't affect anything, if I'm being honest, because my wife is a Mets and Islanders and Jets fan. And they're not really a threat. So that's not really ever come into play. And her entire family is all the same. So like they don't have any Rangers fans or anything. Mm. I wouldn't say it divides us really at all. In fact, like her and I's relationship is very heavily rooted in the Eagles. And we have a lot of history with that. We started dating the year that we won the Super Bowl, and I left our first date to go to the conference game where we beat the Vikings.
Cool.
Yeah. So, we met up. I left to go to the game. She stayed in town, hung back out with me after. And then 6 months later, we got engaged. And then 6 months after that, we got married at the courthouse in Philadelphia.
Good thing they won.
I know. Well, and then to tie it in a little further, this most recent Super Bowl run that we had.
Oh, did the Birds do something?
Yeah, that was a pretty good run.
Okay.
I really thought we had it. But at any rate, the day of the conference championship, we went to the bar where we had our first date and watched the game there, and we ended up winning.
It's very cute to have that callback. You are just a big softie, aren't you?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
But only to some people. You could be one of them.
I don't want to be.
Okay, well, fuck you then.
Fuck you back.
I mean, you did tell me that I've been quite mean to you this week.
Yeah, but I think I said that we have a very similar sense of humor in that, like, we want to exploit loopholes. We want to, like, play with words. Mm-hmm. And, like, sometimes make the other person a little bit uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and like, speaking of like loopholes, I'm a very firm believer of if there are rules set in place and you can figure out a way to operate within those guidelines and still kind of get what you're looking for.
Yeah.
That's a big win. I think everybody should strive to do that. Know your rules and know how you can operate within them.
Like Batman won't kill somebody, but he'll go right up to the line.
In some canon stories, Batman does kill people though.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm not really a comics guy.
I used to work for a comic company.
Okay.
I produced their audio drama comics. So I did the sound design for them. And I worked a bunch of different Comic-Cons and stuff. And that was all pretty much right at the inception of Gatekeeper Media. And I was doing both for a while and then eventually saw that Gatekeeper was growing and decided to put all my focus into that.
So how long ago was that?
The comic stuff was 2015 to 2017, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or 2018, because Gatekeeper started in the end of 2017. Middle of 2017, but we started doing disc golf towards the end of the year.
Sure.
And that was all by happenstance. We started as a drone company doing corporate flyovers for businesses and things like that. And we got hired by the Lancaster County Disc Golf Club to film the drone stuff for a new course they put in, which is now Muddy Run.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, oh yeah, we'll be in and out of there in like 3 hours. No big deal. It took us fucking 8 hours. Like we were there all day. We greatly underestimated how difficult that would be. But then at the end of the day, Kurt asked us if we would be interested in filming their first like exclusive B tier for the course, like in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, yeah, sure. Let's give it a shot.
How did that go?
It was rough.
Go on.
We got yelled at by Mike Moser, who you know.
I do. I think I've heard this story from the other side as well.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. He hated us. It was him, Nate Lefevre, who's mm-hmm. a local in Lancaster, Andy DeFranzo, and I think it was Jerry Dyson, who sure. is an active member of the club in Lancaster as well.
Mm-hmm.
We went out with DSLR cameras that we still had from college. You know, that was our like cinema cameras and stuff. So it was not the right equipment at all.
No.
But we made it work. We got a volunteer from a guy named Dan Hornberger. Mm-hmm. And he came out to volunteer to help us with that. And before I go any further, I do want to kind of pay homage to him because he did pass during COVID.
Yeah.
But he still holds a special place to us.
And a lot of folks in the Southeast PA.
Yeah. So we miss him. But at any rate, fast forward to 2018, we did Women's Global Event at Stafford, which you are also very familiar with that course. Mm-hmm. And we filmed Margaret Sassaman's Ace on hole 3.
That kind of made y'all pop, right?
Well, I got a message from Steve Hill, who was the media manager for PDGA back then, mm-hmm. who he now works for UDisc. And you'll see him with a wild mohawk out on tour now.
That's a choice, huh?
Yeah, sometimes it's different colors too, if I remember correctly. But at any rate, he messaged me and asked if they could share the clip. When they shared the clip, we saw our channel skyrocket from there. And then maybe 2 or 3 days later, we saw it pop up on SportsCenter Top 10.
Pretty wild.
Yeah. And so that got very surreal, very quick. I remember Chris and I were just jumping like in the house, like when we saw the numbers just skyrocketing up, and we're like, holy shit, like we never would have thought that that would have been the case. Right. And Chris's now wife was living with us at the time. Mm-hmm. And she was like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like, it was like pretty late at night too. So like, we're just like freaking out.
At this point, is disc golf your only job, or are you?
No, Chris and I think Chris at that point was the creative director for an automotive like media company. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of why he has such a strong skill base in all the post-production aspects of our stuff.
Because right.
that was like what he oversaw for their productions. So it fit like a glove when we transitioned into this way, but Chris has always been our graphics guy. But back then I was doing the editing, and we were both filming. So at that point it was just us two. Chris was there. And then I had been working for Apple since 2013. And I left there in 2019 to go full time. And I was the first one to jump in to Gatekeeper full time.
Yeah. So, backtracking a little bit, you kind of saw your subscriber view, like, et cetera, numbers take a big jump with that Ace. And it seems like there's steady growth. And then when something big happens, that's when you see jumps in those numbers, right?
Yeah, correct. Like, so it's basically like the viral aspect of what a clip is, where there's not really telling like what will make a clip viral. There's been so many times where we've posted something. It's like, man, this is the hottest thing we've posted in months.
Such a good shot. It's funny. Yeah.
And it flops. And then we put something out that has minimal effort and seems like that's the one that everybody wants and can't get enough of. So it's a little hard to read sometimes. Mm-hmm. So you can't really do your forecasting per se on like the clip itself. You have to kind of go off of like, maybe what else is going on in that moment, or it could just be that the right person shared it.
Yeah.
And then that's what kicked it off. So then it's like, well, do people really like the clip, or did they just get a referral from the right person? You know.
But anyway, however they get there, they get to you.
Yeah. Which I'm not going to complain about at all. In fact, anyone that's listening right now, I really appreciate you tuning in as much as you do. Otherwise we wouldn't be here doing what we do.
Yeah, the disc golf media ecosystem is pretty small, all things considered.
Yeah.
Although it is substantially larger than when you started.
Mm-hmm.
I think in a lot of disc golf post-production viewers' minds, it's Jomez or nothing. And maybe that's shifting a little bit.
It had been for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
For the longest time, we were getting comments on our videos that literally just said, not Jomez.
And you don't mind replying to comments?
No, I do it less now than I used to, because I have less time.
And you're now more of an adult?
That's not a factor. No, because I don't give a shit. I'll put anyone in their place if if it's warranted, right? But back then when we'd get like the Not Jomez, for people who aren't familiar with where our name came from, we're obviously movie nerds and went to film school and stuff like that. So it is a Ghostbusters reference, the gatekeeper, keymaster aspect in Ghostbusters. So a lot of people don't know that. We get a lot of flack for the name because of, you know, just the internet culture now, and gatekeeping is a very, you know, harsh topic these days, right?
Yeah, and so it seemed like there was a stigma against COVID era golfers.
Yes. So I think we've kind of overcome that for the most part now. I don't think we get like direct association, and more people are learning about what the reference actually is. But yeah, so my common response would always be no Jomez here, only Zool. And then the real ones would know, and that's what I'm doing it for. So
you open that fridge, and what are you going to find?
Yeah, exactly.
So in terms of your branding, are there any other disc golf companies that you get confused for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All based off of lettering, right? Like, and I'm sure as people are listening to this right now, they may still think GK Pro and Gatekeeper are the same company.
But not the case. They're not from Philadelphia.
No, far from it.
Far from it.
Yeah. And I would say that they have a significantly different vibe, so I don't really understand the confusion other than maybe just the laziness of the viewer.
Ooh.
You know, like, it's pretty obvious when you're looking at it that they're two different companies, right? Even just our, like, branded colorway are way different. I think they're black and gold,
mm-hmm.
and we're teal and purple. Right. Like,
yeah, like a 90s expansion team.
100%. Yeah. and people who are familiar with us, they know that we love that analog style stuff,
mm-hmm.
Which that comes back where when I was, you know, an artist, I was doing a lot of like video installations and stuff as well. So I was doing like some experimental cuts, and I'd use VHS tapes and all kinds of stuff to kind of manipulate the look and textures of the projects I was working on.
Sure.
And you know, I had done quite a few large scale projects in Philadelphia with my video art. So I've always been like a VHS junkie. I'm a collector of VHS tapes, actually, specifically horror movies. And I have a whole setup in my basement where I'll watch movies on my VCR.
That's pretty cool. I feel like most VHS collectors are like into vintage porn, and that's not you?
No, not me. Too much Bush.
I'm Jeremy Colling, and I listen to the Fish Golf broadcast while I 3D print board game components.
I'm Kona Montgomery, and I listen to the Fish Golf broadcast while I sit and be pretty as passenger princess.
If you like where this show is headed, stick around for part two. We'll never barrage you with 11 minutes of droning external ads to start the show. So please support the Fish Golf broadcast by visiting discgolfbra.com for hats and other apparel. Fish stamp discs are available at fishdiscgolf.com and daddydiscgolf.com, and you can save 10% on upperparkdiscgolf.com with the code Andrew10 on backpacks and other items. And now, more lies and outrageous claims from our guest, met with calm reason by Fish. Circling back a little bit to like what your passion is, you want to be doing more creative things, and the like grind of doing round coverage, like that gets a little bit tough as the year goes on, huh?
For sure. Last year was our toughest year to this day. I think Chris and I were both away from home close to 40 weeks
mm-hmm.
out of the year. It might be around like, you know, 37 weeks or whatever, but it was pushing 40 and it was a lot, you know, especially because that Chris and I are both married men.
Right.
So it puts a strain on, you know, the relationships we have with our partners and things like that. But at the same time, like, we're both very, very lucky that we have a support system that understands that we're following our dream, you know. And when you follow your dream, you have to sacrifice a lot of stuff. So I've like lost, I want to be careful with how I say this because I don't want it to come across the wrong way. But like, I've lost contact with some of my best childhood friends that I used to hang out with all the time. Mm-hmm. Not for any other reason except that I had to decline offers to hang out so much because
proximity.
I just wasn't there.
Yeah.
Right. And so those calls started becoming less and less frequent.
Mm-hmm.
To where now I'm in the driver's seat where if I'm home, I'm making a point to, you know, hit up friends that I haven't seen in a while.
Right.
Whatever. And which is working out really well now. And now that I'm home a little bit more this year, it gives me a little bit more opportunity to kind of explore, you know, just the fun side of things. So like I do play a lot of disc golf with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
All my childhood friends like started playing disc golf because of this journey that I've been on. So it was really cool. Like one winter we did a beer league that Founders Brewing sponsored for us. So they, you know, provided like two cases of beer and all this swag per week. And it was like a 6-week beer league, and half of them we played in the snow at Sedgley. but it was cool because, like, you know, I got a couple sponsors. So like every one of my friends who was playing, they all left with like discs and stuff like that. So like it was a lot of fun, really good introduction, and just about all of them still play pretty regularly. So that's kind of cool.
Well, that's cool how like you are the genesis of that.
Yes. Because like, the first time I ever played disc golf was probably like 2003, where we went to, I want to say it's either Dunham's or Ducharme's. It's like it's basically like a Dick's Sporting Goods, but mm-hmm. in South Central Pennsylvania, like mm-hmm. the Lancaster, Hanover area. And, you know, Innova starter sets at Cadorus State Park. And that was the first course I ever played. I played maybe 3 or 4 times over the course of the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I moved out to Lancaster after college is when I discovered like leagues and trilogy challenges and tournaments and stuff like that. So I got way more involved in the scene in like 2014 or so.
Sure. So you and Chris were the sole employees or sole proprietors of Gatekeeper for a long time.
Yeah.
And that meant that you two were filming
mm-hmm.
and then you two were editing.
Mm-hmm.
You were managing the entire operation
yeah.
and doing the work. At this point, you have been able to transition into like oversight and planning and kind of the strategic development of your brand.
Yes. My main focus is biz dev for the company. So every contract that we've ever gone through was something that I negotiated, every partnership, everything like that. So that's something that now that I have a little bit more free time that I can pull away from some of the other duties, I've been able to expand. So that's part of the reason why we filmed the Australian Championships this year, mm-hmm. or I'm sorry, last year. It's part of the reason why we'll be producing content in at least 4 countries this year.
And leads on a few more, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get that number up to like 7. Mm-hmm. I got another lead yesterday, actually, which I'm excited about. So,
cool. And in my experience, you've always been very willing to explore things just because like you don't know what the future is like for disc golf.
Correct. And I coin myself as like a crossover king. I really like media when it crosses over into other worlds, right? So like disc golf and Andrew Zimmern, right? That's like an mm-hmm. that's kind of like a partnership that a lot of people didn't expect, and it went over really, really well, right? So we did partnerships with the AUDL and had done like some ultimate crossover disc golf content and stuff like that. So like, I love exploring stuff like that because you never know what other industry is going to, you know, take interest in what we do. And again, it just takes one spark to jump something. That's like literally our origin story. It was one little thing. So I'm out there with a flint all the time, you know?
At this point, can you explain the workflow for how Gatekeeper gets round one of an Elite Series tournament done?
Sure.
Like how many people are involved? Like what's the process? How on earth do y'all get this out in 12 to 16 hours?
A lot of it is optimization at this point, that Chris has worked really hard, to kind of gather up and get us in a good spot to where that can happen. But, we go out now, we go out at the true chase card time, where last year, our feature card usually went out at like 10 in the morning
for round one. And then you were chase card the other rounds.
Correct. Yep. And that was a lot to do with the way that the broadcast was. But now that we're a little more tied into the live broadcast, where Isaac, who is now our current TCAM operator, he wears the live pack.
And the DGN broadcast will cut to him sometimes.
Yep. Yeah. So just about every chase card check-in is from our source material. Mm-hmm. The camera operation, everything, that's technically a Gatekeeper thing. Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, we go out, we film.
How many people are on that crew and what are they doing?
So it can range depending on, like, you know, if something comes up. Like, obviously, we had an incident where we were a couple people short a few weeks ago because of medical reasons, right? So you can't predict when that stuff happens and you kind of have to adapt and go. But so we should have T-cam, reaction cam, catch cam, always for elite events.
Right.
And then we have the slow motion / B-roll camera. And then we have Chris, for the most part, he will take the cards after nine holes.
The SD cards.
The SD cards, yep. And then he will pull all of those from us halfway through the round and then start the editing process so that roughly by the time we're done filming, the front nine is close to being edited, if not finished.
Mm-hmm. And in this context, edited means taking those clips, ordering them, but no graphics overlay yet.
No graphics overlay yet. Nope. And so like that process had streamlined when we invested in different cameras that we were able to sync together with the time code. Where before we were syncing each shot because the two cameras were operating, you know, independently.
Right. So now frame by frame, you know what time it is.
Yes. So the internal brain of the camera has its own timeline. And then you set one as the master and then all the other cameras can fall in line and connect to that time code.
Disappointed not to hear key master, but go on.
I mean, I don't want to overdo it, Fish. But
probably reach somewhere in my range and find a hard drive that's labeled with, you know, Stay Puffed or something.
Every hard drive of ours is named after a character in the movie. Literally everyone.
I'm requesting to be referred to as Vince Clortho.
That's one of them for sure. Gozer. There's the Terra Dog, which is a minute character overall. Like most people wouldn't reference that one, but we were starting to run out of names, so we had to go to the IMDb and start filling it out. But yeah, so once that gets picture edited, that gets sent over to PJ, who does a lot of our mastering from home in Pennsylvania. So basically we render out the raw footage in what's called proxies, where it reduces the file size.
Sure.
But still makes it workable. We send that over to him. He builds the project with the graphics and scoring and everything like that. Then he exports a lower res version that's for commentary. And then that gets sent back to us. or however we're recording the process, where we've also been implementing remote commentary now as well. So overall, our process has been pretty automated and can be done remote to a certain degree, which has saved us a lot. We're most of the team is getting sleep, like actual sleep now.
And that wasn't the case 2 years ago, even.
No, when it was just Chris and I, we were lucky if we were getting 2 hours of sleep a day for tournament days. Because again, we were producing next day coverage with just the two of us, and that was pretty rough. So like, there'd be some cases where we would be so gassed from filming that day that we would eat dinner, take a nap, wake up, and then maybe not start editing until 2 a.m. And so we would be up all night editing and then record the commentary before we would go out to film. But then that would obviously push back our release because then we can't finish it until we're done filming that day something like that.
This is like a very bad credit card bill that's coming due.
Yeah. Yeah, very looming. And the colors were getting more aggressive as each one came. But but now, Chris admittedly gets the least amount of sleep.
Because he's kind of a psycho who doesn't go to sleep until everything is done.
Correct. Or he knows exactly where he can find the time to sleep because he's very good at finding like the dead spots where if the computer is doing something that he can't do anything else with, he'll take that opportunity to catch a few Z's or work on something else or whatever. So it's like really we're just trying to optimize everything as much as we can. So even if you're like transferring the data onto the hard drive, well, that, you have 5 to 10 minutes while that's happening that you can't really do a whole lot because you're waiting on the content. So it's like, well, maybe that's when you grab a bite to eat before you get started or something like that. So it's like really finding what your schedule is and kind of fitting in where you can.
Yeah. So when YouTube commenters holler at you for one missed detail,
yeah, they can fuck off. because I know that everybody who's commenting like that has no idea what the type of work that goes into this is. So just the fact that we're able to get the next day product out is, I'm very, very proud of.
Yeah. With usually not more than 4 people involved in the whole process.
Yeah. Because then now Isaac, who is the TCAM, he does the back 9 edit while the front 9 is being buttoned up.
Mm-hmm.
So that usually by the time the front 9 is getting squared away, the back 9 is ready to start mastering and get that ready for commentary. And the timing works out pretty good where by the time we're finishing up front 9 commentary, the back 9 is exporting during that process. And it's for the most part done and ready by the time we're there. Would you say?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So far this year, about the earliest we've been ready is 9 o'clock for commentary.
Yeah, 9 o'clock day of.
Yeah, yeah. Which is amazing. Like, yeah. That's a full night's sleep for the entire crew, just about.
Just about.
And then we had a couple snafus that delayed parts of the process, and yeah, we didn't start until 2 or 3.
Yeah, and sometimes it's like, the computer is having an issue, and it's taking an aggressively long time to export or something like that, or a detail gets missed and we have to export it again or something like that. And it's, those are like the small minute things, but also like dealing with the remote commentary. I want to take a moment to thank Nathan for being a trooper, because when we were all out west, he was still on East Coast time. So we were getting started at 10 o'clock our time.
That's 1 o'clock his time.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. So I do want to give a big shout out to Nathan Queen for sucking it up and being a trooper for us for that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Derek, thank you so much for coming on and explaining how Gatekeeper got to this point and what goes into making the coverage that so many people crave every single weekend.
Hell yeah, man. Before we leave, I do have a question.
Okay.
And it's, where the hell did you get the name for this show?
Well, so Disc Golf Bra is one of my sponsors, and they're doing some of the production for it, and I'm Fish. So you're just kind of mashing those things together.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's much of a mashing. It's just kind of...
This feels like an insult. Are you...
I'm just saying you couldn't have been more on the nose, I don't think.
Just watch yourself. It's not wise to be on the wrong side of a burgeoning media empire.
Whatever you say, bud.
All right. If you enjoyed the show and have very nice things to say, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at fish58320. And if you hated the show and want to yell at somebody about it, Derek, where can folks find you?
My personal is d_rock856 on Instagram. Just Derek Skull on Facebook. And then Gatekeeper Media on everything. That one's big enough where you Google it and you'll find it.
All right. SEO has caught up to you.
It sure has.
All right. Derek, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's all for this episode of the Fish Golf Broadcast. But be sure to check out previous episodes and subscribe wherever fine podcasts are sold. Check out Fish Golf Broadcast hats and other apparel at discgolfbra.com and badger your friends until they listen too. Join us next time as I goad yet another guest into starting a fight with another touring player, campsite host, or toll booth attendant on the Fish Golf Broadcast.